First Peter chapter 4. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you that it's effective, that it works every time. The word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing asunder between soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Father, we thank you that your word brings forth truth and exposes sin. And we love that because sin is what's destroying our walk with you and our ability to walk with you. It always is dragging us backwards to look at our flesh and to look at our failings and our failures. But you have said we are delivered from the power of sin. So we just give you praise and thank you, Lord God, as we study your word, that every time we open it, because it's breathed by the Holy Spirit, and the word of God brings us truth and causes us to be set free. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. All right, over in 1 Peter chapter 4. Before we came out of chapter 3, was talking about submitting to one another and honoring one another and blessing one another. Here in chapter 4, begins with saying, "For as much," so since, "then as Jesus Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin." He that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. Now, suffering in the flesh is not having, you know, sicknesses or diseases or car wrecks. Suffering in the flesh, what he's talking about there, is your flesh suffering under, you have this battle going on between soul and spirit, joints and marrow. You have this battle going on, just like I quoted in the prayer. Is that the Word of God divides between, you know, I'll tell you something. I did not even plan to say that scripture during that prayer. I did not write that scripture down to pray and say in that prayer. But to come back to it, is that the Word of God does what? Divides between soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and is a discerner between the thoughts and the intents of the heart. So the Word of God makes a division, a distinction. The Word of God also is a light unto my path, a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. It shows me, so I don't step on the landmine. It shows me how to walk circumspectly. The Scripture says, "Walk, let us walk circumspectly." You know what that means? Be aware of your surroundings. It means be aware of where you are. Because the enemy is always going out around as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Let's see, I'm looking for a tasty treat. What is easy to get? You know, most of nature and nature's animals look for the easy target, right? Most of nature and all the carnivores and the animals, the predators, thank you, are looking for the easy target. I mean, that's what we do. McDonald's. It's easier than cooking, right? Well, not McDonald's, maybe not. You know, that wouldn't be your first thought. But just something that's easier than not. And so that's what the devil loves to do. He loves to go after the easy target. Am I the easy target? Absolutely not. Because the Holy Spirit lives on the inside of me and I know it. I know it. Now I may be getting dangerous and he may come after me with a truck. Maybe I was getting dangerous. You know, something was going to happen, you know. And I was going to be dangerous, so maybe he wants to take me out with a big truck or something. But that's okay. But so many times God just doesn't, the enemy doesn't bother with you because you're not doing anything. It's not worth the time. But listen, the enemy wants to come in and keep you busy. And just keep you occupied, doing nothing. He wants to keep you occupied. And so many ways he does that is he keeps you busy with guilt. You know, here you are in your little, sitting on your little toadstool, you know, feeling guilty about doing something or not doing something else. You know, no, just get up and go Hey, listen, just get up and read the Word. You know, if you'll just get up and read the Word instead of not reading the Word, go ahead and do it. Just go ahead and do it. Because if you'll read it, then all of a sudden it'll set you free. It'll set you free in some way, in some fashion, in some form. All right? So, Christ suffered in the flesh on the cross, suffered in the flesh for us, took all of the sin, all of our sin upon Himself. Okay? He took all of our sins upon Himself. So now He says here that you likewise arm yourselves with the same mind, for he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. So let's get back to that word dividing between soul and spirit. Is you've suffered in the flesh and you've ceased from sin. So suffering in the flesh is the fact that your desires and your everything that you wanted to do, that your flesh wants to do to remain in this world is the battle. That's the battle that we fight, that we face, is everything that the enemy wants us to pay attention to in this world, right? He wants us to pay attention to this thing going wrong, that thing going wrong, this thing going wrong in my mind, in my life, and that's what kind of gets my goat. That's what kind of gets me and makes me pay attention. This thing right in front of me. It's like a sales pitch. You know, here, want one of these? This will help you. You know, if you just pay attention to this problem, then you'd be okay. If you'll pay attention to this particular part of your life, you will be okay if you'll do that. But what it does, it just sucks you in. It just sucks you in. It's like binging Netflix, you know, or something. Or binging whatever you binge, you know, food. It gets you in a position where you just are paying attention to this one thing in this world, this one fleshly activity, or this one fleshly mindset for whatever reason. And so the suffering in the flesh is stepping away from that. It's allowing the Holy Spirit to set you free from everything that distracts me from the love of God. Everything that distracts me from the Word of God. Everything that distracts me from following Him and preaching the gospel and sharing the Word of God with somebody. Amen? Now, I'm not giving you an assignment to go, everybody go out and witness this week. But go ahead. Or everybody go out and read 5 chapters this week. But go ahead. Whatever the Holy Spirit gives you to do, but know and understand that the enemy is desiring to have you. Just like Jesus told Peter. He said the devil has desired, Satan has desired to have you, to sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith fail not. What was the context? Context was Peter was about to deny Him 3 times. You know, but he didn't intend to. Nobody intended to deny Jesus 3 times. But all of a sudden, circumstances got hot. You know, things got difficult. And what happens when things, so many times things get difficult, we fail, right? Yeah. But it's okay. See, the enemy, Jesus wants you to know that it's okay. Jesus did not rebuke Peter after he came back. You know, he didn't just beat him up. Say, well, that Peter guy, he was going to be the head guy. He was going to be the Pope, but he's not going to be the Pope now. I just knocked him off his throne. No. In fact, Peter came back. So the issue is, don't mourn over your stupid sins. Come back. Come back quick. Come back quick. Don't wait. Amen? Don't wait. Always come back quick. Because Jesus is always looking for you. The Father is always out on the driveway looking for the kid coming back from the pig pen. He's out there getting his binoculars out, looking for the guy, you know, waiting for that kid to come back. The Holy Spirit, praying, the Holy Spirit, bring the kid back. Bring him back. Bring him back. And so the Father is always looking for you. He is never like, well, I'm glad he's gone. I'm glad she's gone. Boy, that's one kid we don't have to deal with anymore. No, absolutely not. God is always on your side. He is always for you. So, He that has suffered in the flesh, what is it to suffer in the flesh? Is to suffer by saying no to my, not as much my sin as giving myself over to the guilt of it. Because so many times what the flesh wants to do is just hide in a corner, right? Is just hide out in a corner and just be worthless. And that's the enemy's greatest desire, is to make you worthless. And then talk to you about it. You know, that's what he did. We knew prophetically that Judas was going to fail. But that's what he began to hear. He began to hear and listen to the devil and listen to the enemy. And that's what the enemy loves to do, is to get a hold of your ear and talk to you and tell you that God is tired of messing with your stuff. Don't ever believe it. I'll see if you'll get back to here. Get back to the Scriptures. And don't forsake fellowship. Listen, because so many times everybody can find the right Scripture for woe unto you, right? Everybody can find that. Woe are you. You're finished. You're over. Your number's up. God has destroyed his enemies, and you are him. Yeah. No, you need to know. Always never forsake the assembly of yourselves together, okay? In fact, if you know somebody today, look around. If you know somebody today who has forsaken the assembly of themselves together, call them up. Just, hey, I love you. I want to pray for you. I just want to pray for you. Amen? Just doing that. For he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. Whew, man, thank you, Jesus. So I'm going to take that one scripture right there. And if I've suffered in the flesh, thank you, God, that I have ceased from sin. Doesn't mean I'll never sin again. What it means is I have ceased from the power of sin. The power of sin is no longer on me. If we look over in Romans chapter 7 and 8, you remember Paul talking about the fact that the thing that I don't want to do is the thing I do, and the thing that I want to do is the thing I can't do. Woe is me. How am I going to live in this body? I mean, it's a depressed person, right? Is people just don't know what to do. The thing I want to do, I can't do, and the thing I don't want to do, that's the thing I'm doing. And you just don't know how to get rid of it. Is you always come back to the promise. Always come back to the promise. Jesus suffered in the flesh for me. So therefore, my suffering in the flesh is to not look at all of the woe and all of the problems and all of the issue, and to believe the truth. To believe the truth rather than the lie. Right? To believe the truth that I am delivered from the power of sin, from the power of this world, from the power of the enemy. Whatever's going on in this world, you know, all of the things, you know, as we're praying today, wars and rumors of wars, everything going on everywhere else whether jobs or no jobs, sickness or no sickness, even though these things are happening in the flesh, the suffering in the flesh is not giving weight or value to the thing that's happening in the flesh, but giving weight and value to the promise of God. Amen? I'm giving weight and value to the promise of God over everything that appears to be against it or me. That's suffering in the flesh. I mean, the suffering in the flesh, when you think of like sickness or stubbing my toe or breaking my wrist or something like that, those are nominal. Those are not the thing. Now, granted, okay, you got long-term sickness or illness. Again, those things that are in the flesh, that are in the body. But these things that are in your soul, your flesh, suffering in the flesh talks about the soul. Dividing between soul and spirit is where we need relief. Amen? That's where I need relief. Okay? Philippians 2. Try to carry around, move around with one hand. Philippians 2, verse 5 through 7. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon himself the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. So God highly exalted him and gave him a name above every name. The name, at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, and of things in heaven and in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but given all of that, the fact that Jesus Christ has suffered in the flesh, took upon himself the form of a servant, and made himself of no reputation. Let that mind be in you. So as you have always obeyed, verse 12, this Philippians 2, verse 12, wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, this is Paul talking, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So let that, all of that started with, let this mind be in you. Let this mind be in you. Your mind is to be changed to believe what the Bible says, the Word of God says, about your circumstances with respect to your flesh and your actions, not what your mind and the devil tells you. All right? So let this mind be in you, who took himself upon himself the form of a servant, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, made himself of no reputation. You have no reputation. Praise the Lord. You have no reputation. You have nothing to protect. Amen? You have nothing to protect. You didn't do anything. You didn't save yourself. Psalm chapter 100 says, you didn't make yourself. You didn't, it is the Lord who made you. You didn't make yourself. So you have no reputation. Amen? So you're not worried about, what you're looking like. You're not worried about what you're looking like. You just go and see the Lord and let him work on the inside of you that which is well-pleasing in his sight. Okay? Back over in 1 Peter chapter 4. Verse 2. Let's read up off of verse 1. For he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he should no longer live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lusts of men, but to the will of God. No longer living the rest of his time in the flesh. How many people live the rest of their time in the flesh focusing on their flesh? Right? Focusing on what they're doing or not doing. What kind of a church is that? That is always focusing on what they're doing, what they're performing, what's happening, seeing if I'm doing okay today. That's not God's interest is not in, whether you're doing okay today on your ABCs. No, his desire for you is just to live the love of Jesus. Amen? That's what it is, just to live the love of Jesus. So, that you should no longer live in the rest of your time in the flesh to the lusts of men, but to the will of God. Now, the lusts of the men could be lusty things, bad things, evil things, or it could be just you things. Amen. Could be just paying attention to you. Because the enemy's got you stuck on that. Now, a lot of people, they're stuck on, right, like regular old, dirty old, gross sins. That's the other thing. So, we've got some people stuck on sins. But to know that Christ has already been, he suffered in the flesh for you. So you're delivered from every sin. Verse 3, for the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles when we walked in lasciviousness and lust and excess of wine, revelings and banquetings and abominable idolatries. Boy, that sounds awful. Wherein they think it strange, the regular folks think it strange that you run not with them to the same excess. Well, how come you used to hang with us? How come you're not hanging with us anymore? whom you're not to do in the spirits in prison to them that are dead, so that what? Righteous judgment might take place. The fact that the deed was completed and it was finished. Jesus died and took the sin of the world upon himself according to the promise. And that promise was fulfilled. And Jesus went and declared the promise fulfilled, done. So he was there. So that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the Spirit. So all of these men were judged equally according to the promise that was given in the Scriptures, but then that those who had believed would live according to God in the Spirit. Now verse 7 says, but the end of these things is at hand. Be you therefore sober. So in other words, these things are finished. This is done. Is the body of Christ and the God of heaven has already sent Jesus to do the finished work for you, in you, and through you. But the end of these things is at hand. It is done. Be you therefore sober, watch to prayer, and above all things have fervent love among yourselves, for love covers a multitude of sins. So all the gospel is about covering sins, isn't it? The gospel is about covering sins. So it's not about living whether or not you're trying to get through your suffering. The whole purpose of you maintaining a breathing, living life on the planet is to declare the gospel. Jesus said, behold, all authority is given unto me in heaven and earth. What did he say? Go ye therefore and teach all nations, teaching them to observe everything that I've taught you. See, it's not about living good and holy. I live good and holy. No, it's not about you living good and holy. It's about declaring the finished work of Jesus, isn't it? All over the world. That's what it's about. But we're so busy looking at our toenails. You know, looking at our belly button. Hallelujah. Looking at all the things we did or did not do. Stop that. Quit looking at yourself, you know. Quit looking at everything that you're doing, because what the enemy wants to do is get you busy looking at anything that doesn't make any difference. Suffering in the flesh. What is it? Stop looking at everything that... Now, it doesn't mean God says go live hell, live like hell. But what he does is quit looking at the fact that you are. Quit paying attention to that one. Just look at me. Just look at me. Look at my presence. Know that I love you. Know that your sins are forgiven. Amen? Know that your sins are forgiven. Verse 9 says, use hospitality one to another without grudging. Hey, you like that one? I love that scripture. Use hospitality to one another without grudging. I didn't want those people to come over. How come they had to call? Why do they need something? This is suffering in the flesh. That verse right there is talking about suffering in the flesh, isn't it? Reading that, just looking right there, use hospitality without grudging. Well, that's suffering in the flesh, isn't it? Not the fact that you're just turning off the grudger. Turning that off. Not because God doesn't like that. Stop that. No. It makes you grumpy, sad, irritable. Why would God want you grumpy, sad, and irritable? Right? Why would he want that? So suffering in the flesh is, no, okay. Is in the name of Jesus. You know, there's so many things I end up doing that, you know, probably would rather not do on first glance. But you just follow the Holy Spirit. You learn to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. Amen? You just learn to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. And somehow people get blessed. You know, Jim would talk about that. You know, he'd talk about, well, I ended up having to go out to this other place. I didn't want to go out there, you know. drive, get in the car, drive, you know, miles and miles and miles, and, you know, go help somebody or save a marriage or whatever. You know, not, a lot of time you just don't feel like doing that. You know, you'd rather read your book. You'd rather, you know, do whatever you're in the middle of doing. But you learn to listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. You learn to listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. And God blesses these circumstances. And the Holy Spirit speaks to you and just gives you peace. He just gives you peace. It's so powerful. Because then you're restful. Verse 10, as every man has received the gift, even so minister the same to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. So if you've received the gift, you've received the gift of the Holy Ghost, so follow the Holy Spirit to that same degree to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as of the oracles of God. If any man minister, serve, that's service is what that is, let him do it as of the ability which God gives, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Beloved, think it not strange, listen, concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. My goodness. But rejoice inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when His glory shall be revealed, you may be also glad with exceeding joy. And if you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are you. Really? There's a suffering in the flesh, right? If you be reproached, that is, insulted or castigated or treated poorly for the name of Jesus, happy are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. On your part, He is evil spoken of. But on their part, He is evil spoken of. They're looking at you just speaking evil of Jesus, and by the same token, you. Because you're desiring to give them a gift. We were at a seminar yesterday, part of our Christians Engaged thing, and part of what we do is we teach people how to share the gospel. And you're going to have some people, when you're going to share the gospel with them, they just, I heard that before. I'm not interested in that. So they put you and Jesus in the same boat. Imagine that. Is that, you know, you're trying to share Jesus with them, and they'd really have no desire. They really have no thought that is something that they need. But you are speaking the word in season. Right there at that moment. You're speaking that maybe you're planting a seed or you're watering a seed. Amen? Because that's why we're here. That's who we are. Is we are the seed. We are that seed. We are the light. We are the salt of the earth. So no matter what part of what thing you're doing, what you find yourself doing, is whether what kind of work you find yourself doing, even if you're in working in politics and things of that nature. There's so many mean people in politics, right? I mean, there just are. I mean, you know, especially those of us who have worked in politics. I mean, there's mean people amongst ourselves, you know. And, you know, we're great until you cross our sacred cow of whatever, you know, whatever issue that we're plugging for and we didn't agree with you, and all of a sudden, you know, Jesus or no Jesus, you're my enemy. So, but the thing is, you don't have to live ugly. You can disagree. Praise the Lord. You know, I mean, God's not gonna save that person one way or another, yeah, by your political stand. Obviously, you know, one thing may be better than another, but our heart is to win them to Jesus, is to not break fellowship over Jesus because of political stuff. Amen? Hallelujah. So, on somebody you're sharing Jesus with, they may not like it. And so on their part, he is evil spoken of. But on your part, he is glorified for the fact that you just, that you opened your mouth and declared love, declared the love of Jesus. God is glorified. Well, I didn't win him to Jesus. Well, you shared Jesus. You opened your mouth. But let none of you suffer as a murderer. Here we go. Or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody. A busybody. That's great. A murderer, a thief, an evildoer, a busybody. If you want to know if all sins are the same, there they are. A busybody in other men's matters. There you go. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin with us, what shall the end of them that obey not be that of them that obey not the gospel, that don't even know Jesus? And if the righteous are scarcely saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to Him. Listen. Commit the keeping of their souls to Him in well-doing, a faithful creature in every one of us who walk with the Lord, who know the Lord. Let judgment begin here. What is that? That's that what we're talking about, is suffering in the flesh. Let that begin right here, to this divide between soul and spirit, the things that you are determining that you decide are relevant with respect to a walk with the Lord, and what the Lord is looking for. What's He looking for? He's looking for you to walk with Him. He's not looking for you to. The only repentance He wants, it's repentance from dead works. What are dead works? Those things you tried to do instead of knowing His love. Those things you tried to do to kind of sneak in, get in on His good side when it's not what He wanted. He didn't want anything from you except your love and your attention and your walking with Him. Because He knows that you can't do anything. Apart from Him, you can do nothing. But in Him, I can do all things. So in Him, I'm doing all things. So suffering in the flesh, what is it? It's not doing the things that I would want to do. But doing the things that He is calling me to do through the Spirit. Just listening to His voice. Not making my behavior better. Let Him do that. Amen? Let Him do that. He wants me in His presence to worship Him, to thank Him, to give praise to His name, to be ready at any hour, at any moment, to give testimony to His goodness. That's where this is. To always be ready to be hospitable. Hospitality doesn't necessarily mean inviting somebody to your house. It just means not blowing somebody off. You know? Be hospitable without grudging. I'm going to meditate on that one. That'd be a good one to meditate. Amen. Praise the Lord. Suffering in the flesh. That's a big one. Because, I mean, we think about so many things. That, well, Jesus suffered in the flesh, we should suffer too. What does that mean? How do you do that? Is it, don't let your flesh rule. Let not the flesh rule. You don't get to decide. Jesus decides. Amen? Hallelujah. Father, let us meditate on these things. Thank You for Your goodness, and thank You for this word from Peter. Thank You that You love us. And thank you, Lord God, that you have already taken care of every sin, that you have defeated sin from the inside out, that you are in me both to will and to do of your good pleasure. And I just give you praise, Lord God, that as you are working in me that which is well-pleasing in your sight, and working in every one of us that which is well-pleasing in your sight, that you are delivering us from the power of the enemy and from the lies of the enemy, who wants us to be busy looking at our performance and our ability and our own strength and our failure, rather than the finished work of Jesus, as how you are delivering us daily out of the power of the devil. And we just give you praise and thank you for it. Father, show me where I'm messing this up. Show me where I'm believing in my own righteousness rather than giving up my righteousness in favor of yours. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for showing us the truth. Thank you for delivering me. In Jesus' name. Father, thank you that the gospel of Jesus Christ is available to every person through faith alone, that you come and live on the inside of each one of us. As we say, Jesus Christ, I believe that you were born of a virgin, suffered for my sins on the cross, died and was risen again, raised again by the Father for my justification and for my sanctification and my glorification. And I believe and I receive that promise in Jesus' name. And Father, thank you that those who believe those things and declare those things, confess those things, are part of your kingdom from now through eternity. And that we read your word and seek and thank you for the Holy Spirit, the gift of the Holy Spirit. That once we receive Jesus, we receive him. That the Holy Spirit dwells on the inside of us to transform and change us into the image of Jesus Christ, one day at a time. In Jesus' name we thank you. Amen. Amen.